afternoon, and let's open up to the book of 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And we will begin reading in verse 24. Verse 24. John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Now, Father, thank you for the word of God. Lord, we just ask your help tonight, and this afternoon, and just pray you'd help us to understand the truth of your word. Bless your people, we pray, and help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. When we look at that, obviously that's going to go to the what we preached in the morning service about our dwelling place. But notice what he says. He says, let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which we have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. So he's writing to them about people that are trying to seduce them away from the truth. And notice what he says. He says, let that which you have heard from the beginning abide in you. In other words, he's saying, don't forget it. Keep it inside. Keep it. Hold on to it. Don't let go of it. Let it abide in you. Give it a place. You know, there's an old adage that is often quoted. And it says, everyone that forgets history is condemned to repeat it. All right? And there's some truth into that. You look in our culture today, and people are totally, Brother Donnie and I were talking this morning, people are totally ignorant of the truth. I mean, we like to grab what we call our truth, and that's something that has become very popular. My truth, your truth. There's not my truth, your truth. If something's true, it's true. If it's false, it's false. If it's a mixture of truth and false, that's what it is. There's no in-betweens. There's no ifs and buts. There's no my truth, your truth. There are different things that different perspectives that may be true or whatever. But the simple fact is, when I say a perspective, I'm talking about a personal opinion. I'm talking about when you look at history, somebody may look at this part of history and may have part of the truth, but there's truth on the other side. We were talking this morning about the issue of slavery and the idea that, for example, the idea that everybody in the North was against the slavery, was against slavery, is a falsehood. And that everybody in the South was for slavery is a falsehood. It's not true. Alright, there were people in the South who would never have owned slaves. There were people in the South who were abolitionists. There were people in the South who did a lot of things. And there were people in the North who could have cared less about the slaves. And there's a lot of different things that we could talk about. Most of the people in the North, let's just be honest about that, most of the people in the North, they're pretty much like people are today. They don't care if they're bringing people across the border as human trafficking and slavery in that regard. And they don't care if China makes their products with slave labor. They don't care about that. Or if it gets made somewhere else with slave labor or whatever, they don't care. Hey, as long as we can get cheap goods and get what we want and keep the standard of living we want, we're okay. We don't really care about that. And that, I mean, that's just the truth. That's where a lot of people were in the South, and a lot of the things that went in the Civil War were had to do with money, not just slavery. That's the truth. You know, and people believe that, but we grab little parts of the truth, and the devil wants us to do that. He wants us to grab, and people that want to manipulate history and want to manipulate people, they want people to only see part of the truth, right? They don't want people to see the whole truth. They don't want people to see everything. That's why they don't want people to understand history. That's why they want to rewrite history. That's why they want to exclude parts of history. All right, and that's all of the different things that go on. And you know, there's another old adage that history is written by the victors. All right, so it's true in churches. You sit there and what we would call church history, most of it is Catholic and Protestant history that's trotted out as quote church history. But those aren't the only two sides of it, are there? No, because there's the Bible, first of all, right? And then there's other people that were neither Protestant nor Catholic, right? Before there were ever Protestants and before there were ever Catholics, there were Bible-believing Christians. All right, and that's just an absolute truth. And all during the time that there were Protestants and Catholics, there were Bible-believing Christians. And a lot of those Bible-believing Christians were persecuted. Not just by the Catholics, by the way. They were persecuted by Protestants as well. Take a look at what John Calvin did in Geneva, and you'll find out that he wasn't going to allow anybody to have any other view than his. And so we can talk a lot about different things that happened. People have an idea of history. And you know, the devil does that too with the Word of God. He wants us to forget parts of the Bible. He wants us to forget the doctrines of salvation. He wants us to forget the doctrines of righteousness and substitute something else in. And so the Holy Spirit is using John to say to these people here that let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He hath promised us, even eternal life. And He's saying, you need to go back to the very beginning. You remember what the Spirit told and the Lord Jesus told, speaking in the book of Revelation. Remember what He told that Ephesian church to go back, to repent and do the first works. Go back to the beginning. All right? He said, let that which you have heard from the beginning abide in you. What did you hear from the beginning? What you heard from the beginning was the gospel. The gospel of your salvation. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The message of who Jesus is and that He was the only hope you have of heaven. That understanding, and He's the only way to the Father, and that understanding that we have. And He says, let that abide in you, that which you heard from the very beginning. And that's how important it is. You know, during the 60s, 50s and 60s, and maybe even back to the 40s, during that time, there was a great push and there was a great separation from a lot of the different churches. There was a battle between what they called fundamentalists and a battle between what they called modernists. And the modernists were the people, and this is what happened. It happened a lot of, for example, a lot of preachers left, especially in the 60s, left the Southern Baptist Convention. And why did they leave the Southern Baptist Convention? Because of the modernism that was creeping in, and they wanted to preach the gospel. And you get a bunch of people that have an attitude who are like, okay, we already know about the gospel. You need to teach us something else. And in the 40s and 50s and things like that, they had what was called a deeper life movement. Oh, we got to go beyond the gospel. Go to a deeper life. And that's fine. You should go beyond the gospel, by the way. I mean, if you go to the book of Hebrews, go back to the book of Hebrews, I believe it's chapter 6, he's telling them, he said, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God and of doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of eternal resurrection and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. He said we need to go beyond that point. We need to get past that. But he's not saying forget it. We need to grow up. But you don't grow up by forgetting what you've learned. Matter of fact, people that don't learn or people that don't or forget what they learn, they don't grow up. And the idea of a lot of these people with a deeper life, there were some that were very good and very straightforward. I used to like to read the works of Andrew Murray. He's got a lot of wonderful things. He's got a book called Abiding Christ, very wonderful book. He's got a book called Absolute Surrender that I love. Some of those books I liked, but you know, some people looked at him and some people piggybacked on his work, and they came back with this idea somehow that if you preach the gospel at every service, you're backwards. But I'm looking there, and God says, hold on to it. I try to include the gospel in every service because it's important, because somebody may need to hear it. If we put them up on the internet and somebody takes the time to listen to one of the messages, they need to hear the gospel. They need to know how to be saved. And Christ is the only way of salvation, isn't He? He's the one that died on Calvary's cross for our sins. He's the one that rose from the dead. He's the one that paid that penalty. He's the Messiah that was promised throughout the Word of God, throughout the Bible. He's the only one there is. And He's the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. And if you don't trust Christ your Savior, you'll die and go to hell. And you say, well, I know that, preacher. I need to go on. No, you need to hold on to it. You need to hold on. It needs to dwell, abide in you. That needs to abide in you. It ought to become, I've said it before. The words, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life, that ought to thrill your soul even today. Amen. Because that includes you. If you're like, okay, I know that. You're in danger of forgetting. And you're also in danger of becoming carnal. Think about this. He said, these things have I written you concerning them that do what? Seduce you. These people were trying, they were being seduced. They were trying to be drawn away from it. And by all means, the gospel is the starting place. But it also is the reality. Because, Brother Donnie, just like I could not get saved except through Jesus Christ, I cannot live a Christian life and become what I'm supposed to be except through Jesus Christ. It's not I get saved and then I become something on my own. I'm nothing without Christ. He said, without me ye can do nothing. And the idea was that these people were trying to give them was this idea of somehow we're going to draw you away. We're going to take you to something greater, something deeper. There's something better. No, there isn't. And one of the things that stops us from abiding in Christ and dwelling in Him the way we're supposed to is getting to the point where the gospel has just become commonplace. It's not commonplace. It's the most important thing there is. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It is the way of salvation for every person that we meet on a day-to-day basis, isn't it? How can we say it's not something that we need to retain and hold on to? How can we say it's not part of that? And notice what he said. He said, they're trying to seduce you to give up the gospel. But he says, the anointing which ye have received of him, talking about the Holy Spirit, abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. I don't know anybody that's spirit-filled, that's truly spirit-filled, that looks with any type of contempt on the gospel. And not just in the sense that somehow I've evolved beyond this, or I've grown beyond this, or whatever you want to call yourself, and I don't need to concern myself with the gospel because God's got a better thing or something different for me. No, that's not true at all. That's not true at all. The gospel is the foundation of everything, isn't it? Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Everything hinges upon that. You can't sit there and the devil would have you read your Bible but have no sense of urgency, of no sense of understanding of the importance of the gospel. I mean, you go to the book of Revelation, we find Brother John there in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And he looks and he sees the resurrected Jesus Christ, and he sees that vision. In verse 17, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. What's the first thing Jesus preached when he preached with John? John was already saved. What's the first thing he preached? The gospel. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. Jesus himself preached the gospel. He identified himself with the gospel. How can we say it doesn't matter? How can we say, I've already gone past that, I don't need to worry about that anymore? When we get that way, it's a sure sign that we're headed toward carnality. And that was the problem with modernism. Modernism was full of carnality. But the fundamentalists got that way too, in different ways. Because you can look at the people in Ephesians, in the book of Ephesians, or in the church at Ephesus in Revelation 2, and you could have called them pretty much fundamentalists. They stayed by the stuff for a lot of ways. He had a lot of commendations for them, but he had one thing against them. And then notice what he said, and now little children abide in him. Abide in him. That when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Now notice something about this. He says, little children abide in him. How are you going to abide in Christ without acknowledging the gospel? You can't, can you? Acknowledging the gospel every day. To be thankful every day, to look at that every day, to realize it's Christ's death, his burial, his resurrection that gives you access to the throne of heaven, that gives you understanding, that makes it possible for the Spirit of God to dwell in you. Have you ever thought about that, how God could give us, being sinners as we are, being sinful as we be, as we are, and how God could take His Holy Spirit and put it inside of us? How could He do that? Because of the gospel. Because of what Christ did. Because of His death, His burial, His resurrection. Because the penalty and the price for my sins has been paid. Amen. That's the amazing thing. When you look at this passage of Scripture, you look at what it says, and he says, if that which you have heard, verse 24, back to where we started, if that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And then he says, if that that anointing abides in you as it teaches you, the truth and is no lie, even as it has taught you, you shall abide in Him. And now, little children, abide in Him. Abide in Him. But how are we going to do that? We start off by remembering whence we came. We don't forget. Every day is a day where you ought to be thinking about the gospel. Every day is a day where we ought to praise God for the death of His Son, for His burial, for His resurrection, for the shedding of His precious blood. When I come before God, when I call on the Lord, I come on the basis of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I don't come on the basis of who I am. I don't come on the basis of God called me. Hey, God called me to be a preacher, right? God called me to be a man of God, so therefore God must have something for me, and I can come to God because, you see, after all, I'm called of God. I'm a preacher. You're not called of God, so you're not a preacher. There's nothing in the Bible. And by the way, a lot of people think that way, don't they? I get it all the time. Oh, preacher, would you please pray for me? Yes, I'll pray for you. But I asked a question. I said, do you pray? Well, you know, preacher, yeah, I pray, but you know, you're a preacher, you're a man of God, so if you ask God, maybe He'll do something. And I understand that idea, but it's not a good thing to have more faith in the preacher than you do in Jesus. It's not a good thing to have more faith in the preacher than you do in the promises of God. I've got the same Bible you do. And the only way my prayer is going to carry any weight with God is if I abide in Him. Because if we go over to the book of John, if you want to turn over there with me real quick. I believe it's chapter 15, but it may be chapter 16. I'll find it in just a second. Let's see. If I can find the passage I'm trying to remember. Give me just say maybe chapter 14. Give me just a second to see if I can find. Verse chapter 15. I was correct the first time. Chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall be my disciples. He says that if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. He doesn't say, if you ask the preacher, whatever he says, whatever he asks me, I'll do. That's not what he says. Very rarely. In fact, I only know one place where God said He wouldn't listen to anybody until somebody prayed for Him, and that was the case of Job with his friends. I don't know of another place. There may be another place in the Bible that I'm not thinking about that may have that, but the only place I know, but this right there says this is the same thing I rely on. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I mean, I rely on the same thing there. That's just as much to you as it is to me, isn't it? And so I'm trying to get you to see something. We go back to what he says. He says you need to let that which you have heard from the beginning abide in you. If you want to abide in Christ, you need to let that gospel abide in you. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The gospel is always the starting point. Everything goes back to the gospel, Brother Larry. Everything goes back to the gospel. Everything that I hope to have goes back to the gospel. Everything that I am goes back to the gospel. Every promise of God goes back to the gospel. But what does modernism and what do? They throw out the gospel, don't they? They throw out the gospel. It's just not that important. What do the prosperity preachers do? They just stop talking about the gospel. They just talk about, you know, all the things you are and everything you are and how if you name it, you can claim it. And but we're supposed to abide in Him. And so the whole point of this is, you know, we talked about this morning that the Lord is our dwelling place, didn't we? He's our dwelling place for all generations. He's where we live. He's home. And you ought to abide at home. I remember growing up as a kid, I had some neighbors. And they had a lot of cool stuff, and I tried to hang out over there all I could. So they had stuff I didn't. And it got late, and I was trying to hang out over there because I thought it was fun to be over there because they had a lot of things that I didn't have. And one of them looked at me, one of the parents looked at me and said, "Boy, go home. You don't live here. Go home. You don't live here. Go back to your home." Now, if I would have had somebody that come to me and said, "Oh, you don't have to go home. Just stay here with me." And it wasn't my home. That would have been wicked, wouldn't it? If some adult said, "Oh, don't go home. Stay here with me." That'd be a wicked man, wouldn't it? It'd be a wicked woman that would say to a little child, "Don't go home. You stay here. Don't go where you belong. You stay here." That's exactly what the devil does. He doesn't want you to go where you belong. He wants you to stay where he wants you to stay. Come on over here. We're having a great time. By the way, have you ever noticed that a lot of people they run away from Bible preaching churches in these days? They don't like them, do they? And I'm not just saying that because of our situation with a few in number. Brother Larry showed me a church this morning where it looked like they were packed out, a good Bible believing church, and I'm happy for them. And I'd be tickled to death if we had that many people in here, brother. But I mean, we don't. But we're just going to have to be faithful with whatever we got and do what we're supposed to do. But the reality is, and the truth is, we have to abide at the gospel. If you want to abide in Him, you cannot discount the gospel. That which you heard from the beginning needs to abide in you. You see, if you were to ask me where my home was growing up, I can tell you right now. I know it by heart. 104 Main Street, Palacios, Texas, 77465. Got the address. I hadn't lived there in 40 years. Probably 50 years. Because I lived on A Street for a while. But boy, I know where I grew up, 104. If you'd asked me where I belonged, that would have been it. Knew exactly where it was. That's where it is. That's where home is. That's the gospel is. It's the address of home. So I thought your home was in heaven. It is. But I don't get there without the gospel, do I? Why would I want to forget that? God forbid I ever get to thinking that somehow I deserve to go to heaven on my own because of who I am. God forbid that I ever put that message out to anybody else to say that, but that's exactly what's happening. That's what we get seduced to do. Oh, just join our church. You know, I talked to this one fellow one time, and he was trying to get me to give money to an overseas project where they were going to go feed the little children. And I'm all for feeding little children, don't get me wrong. And he told me of all the things that they were doing and how they were giving them schooling and giving them clothes and everything like that. And they were talking about them. I said, do you preach the gospel to them? He said, well, not at first, but we work in there and we try to build up a repertoire with everybody, and we try to get everybody to think well of us, and we try to provide schooling, and then we try to work the gospel in down the line. I said, what happened if they die before they get down the line? He didn't particularly like that line of questioning, but it's the truth. One is it's a question. If we're going to feed somebody, hallelujah. Should we care about the poor? Absolutely. But you know, if you get an opportunity to go buy somebody a meal or something, somebody's in bad straits and you got a chance to go buy them a meal, you may tell them why you're buying them the meal. You know? I'm doing this for you because Jesus died for me. Pay the penalty for my sins. I was in need. I understand what it's like to be in need. I mean, there's all kind of ways you can go to the gospel. Most versatile story in the world. You can get there from just about any experience of man. I was lonely like you are. I didn't even know I was lonely. I was lonely for God and I didn't even know it. And you could go from there to the gospel. How Jesus loved you and gave himself for you. How he sought you out. You could tell the story. Sister Pat, you could tell the story about how God sought you out. He sent person after person after person to talk to you, didn't he? And you could just say, you know, that people just kept coming up to me. And finally I realized my daughter was a Christian, so I called her and said, what do I got to do to get saved? And I may have got the story perfectly right, or whatever the case may be, but however that is, the simple fact is that's a testimony, isn't it? But you can work that in there. You can help people, and you can give them the gospel too. You don't have to do one or the other. That's a lie. That you have to do one or the other. Well, you just can't come and blurt it out. Why not? Somebody blurted it out when I got saved. You're going to have to blurt it out sooner or later if you're ever going to get saved. You can't separate the gospel. Oh, we can grow, but we never outgrow the gospel. And I can guarantee you, when we don't give the gospel the preeminence in Christ, the preeminence that we ought to give him, I can guarantee you we will not abide in him the way we're supposed to. And the devil wants us not to abide in him. Let's go, Lord, in prayer, and then we'll close out for this afternoon. Father, thank you for this time that we have. I just pray, Lord, you'd help us to see the gospel anew every day, to rejoice in it every day, to realize that it is It is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, the shedding of His precious blood, His sinless blood, that makes everything that we have, that we receive from God, possible and available. And it's by that same grace that saved our souls, that grace, by grace we stand, by grace we live. And Lord, that help us to access that grace by faith. And that faith is in our crucified and risen Savior. Help us, Father, we pray, to always give the gospel the preeminence in our life. No matter how old we get in the Lord, no matter how much Bible knowledge we attain, that we never forget the gospel. And we let that which we heard from the beginning abide in us. Help us, we pray, and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.